In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Often during the journeys of Jesus, along with his disciples, we hear in the Gospels that he turns aside and goes some different way, so that the confrontation between himself and the powerful is not a time of their choosing, but the time when all of the things that he has come into the world to do have been accomplished. And finally that time comes. And we who know how things turn out, the apostles, of course, didn't know. We know that it is beginning when word comes to Jesus that Jesus' friend Lazarus, a member of a house that he is especially close to, that of Martha and Mary, word comes that Lazarus has fallen ill. And Jesus tells them that he has fallen asleep, but that he would be able to rise again because of him. And the apostles, of course, don't understand. And finally, he tells them, Lazarus is dead, but I am glad, because this will enable you to see what you need to see. It will enable all to see what they need to see. That he is the one who is the incarnate creator of the world. The creator of the world himself, God, has become incarnate in order to destroy the ultimate enemy of mankind, death, and to destroy death in our flesh. And he goes to confront that death, that darkness in Jerusalem. And the way he initiates that confrontation is to go to the tomb of Lazarus, where Lazarus has been dead 4 days. And already he has begun to return to the clay out of which he was made. That terrible destiny that has become the way of all flesh. All of us die and return to the dust. But God has come into the world so that that is no longer the case. It isn't the way he created the world to be. It isn't the way that he created us, for us to be. And so he goes, and even though Lazarus already has begun to decompose in his body, the one who created the heavens and the earth tells him to come forth. And Lazarus, his flesh knit back again together by the one who created all things, arises, comes forth, and is unbound from his bandages. Jesus has shown that he is the one that everyone had been waiting for. He shows that he has the power to overcome the ultimate enemy, as all true kings overcome their enemies. God incarnate himself overcomes the enemy of all mankind. Death that runs through our lives and fills us with fear and darkness, makes us afraid that the world in which we live, this broken world, we're living according to the practical realities of a world that is as it is only because we human beings are separated from God's divine light. That is not the ultimate reality. Christ comes and he shows clearly that he is the master of life and death. And many begin to turn to him. Now we know, of course, that there is going to be a general turning away from him. But it's important not to miss the fact that the Sunday of Palms, Palm Sunday, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem, fulfilling the prophecy of a king that will come on the day of the Lord, is a real and genuine triumph that almost all who witness the things that he has done respond to deep in their hearts. Now it's true that in the end they turn away from him. The soil of their lives is shallow, like the scattering the seed in different places. But on this day, it seems to take root in almost every heart, except for those one or two who are plotting against him, because they know that if he is the king, if he truly is the one who has come into the world in order to destroy the dominion of death in the world, then their old way of life is ended. It's him or them. But for the vast majority, even those whose faith is shallow and will turn away, they acclaim him on this day, and they cast branches and palms before his feet as he enters into the city of Jerusalem. This day is a day of triumph. And it's not false triumph, because even though so many will turn away, the triumph strikes into every heart. It's up to us how we respond. And we have to look into our own hearts, and we can see that we respond with joy to the message of new life that God brings into the world. But then it seems we go back into a world where the realities of the broken world we live in seem to us more real than the power of God himself. In Jesus' own time among the Jews, there were the Sadducees, those who did not believe in the resurrection of the body. And Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you who lead others astray and teach that the powers of this broken world are greater than the power of God. You do not know the power of God." He tells those who don't believe that God can overcome the brokenness of the world, the darkness and the fear in which we live our lives. And we ourselves, whose faith is often not so deep as it should be, return to narrow lives, living in fear. But on this day, we witness all together the joy of the triumph of the coming of the Lord. And this joy of Palm Sunday is the same joy as the joy of Pascha. We are celebrating the resurrection as we celebrate the entrance of Christ into Jerusalem, because we are celebrating the one who has the power over life and death, the one who has the power to restore life, not just to raise Lazarus from the dead, but if he can raise Lazarus from the dead, why can't he raise our own lives in the darkness of our own hearts and souls, all of the things that we fear? Why can't he raise hope in ourselves? He raises that hope in the hearts of all of those who lay down those palms and those branches before him. In this coming week of Holy Week, during which we will hear the story of Christ's passion, his confrontation of death, his confrontation of the darkness, and his confrontation of those whose power lies in their affirmation and confirmation of the brokenness in this world, and are jealous of the kind of power that they have in that kind of world. Those are his enemies, and they, casting out the momentary bright light of hope in their own hearts, will all unite together in order to condemn him, in order to try to put out the light of divine life from in this world once and for all. And as we hear the readings during this coming week, oftentimes within our own hearts and souls, there is a nagging tug that makes us wonder, on which side are we? Why is it so easy to identify with those who are against the flaming up of this divine life that God has brought into the world? Their sense of the stronger reality of a broken world calls out to our own hearts. When Jesus is betrayed, it's not just Judas who betrays him. To those who are fighting to hold on to the power of this world, threatened by the presence of the Christ King in the world, it's always a choice between living the divine life in Christ that God brings into the world for us to share, and on the other hand, living lives that don't depend on that light, but in fact depend on that light not being the central thing in our lives. And so we're torn in that kind of way. Jesus, the Christ, is the bridegroom of our souls. He is the one who comes into the world and unites his own divinity to our humanity, wants to be one flesh and is one flesh with us. And he holds out to us a wedding, a reuniting of ourselves with God. He is the bridegroom. And during the coming week, especially the first days, we will be hearing about waiting in the darkness, keeping the faith of that small candle in the midst of the darkness that Jesus enters into and puts himself at the mercy of so that it can be overcome. And we hold our small candle of hope within ourselves, like the virgins who await the bridegroom. And the question is, have they brought enough oil in their lamps, enough faith? We, throughout the year, say daily prayers, fast regularly. Why do we do that? It is to fill that lamp of our hope and to remember and not forget the way the vast majority do. Forget all about Palm Sunday during the week that leads up to the betrayal and crucifixion of Christ. We fight the same spiritual struggle in our lives. We have to keep those lamps filled with oil, or finally, that small light in the midst of the darkness of this world, for lack of faith, for lack of returning again and again to praise God, pray to him, reconfirm that our life is in him. That's how we keep our lamps filled with oil, filled with faith. And during the reflection of all of the readings that we hear this week, oftentimes, just for a moment, we will get insight into how to go about living through lives that are often spiritually dark. Just as this coming week of the Passion of Christ, the week we call Holy Week, has so much darkness in it, and the only light throughout that week is the light of the life of Christ himself. It's the same thing that we pass through in the course of our lives. Oftentimes there is fear and darkness, and we fear the same thing that the enemies of Christ fear. They fear that the reality of the darkness of this world is the true and ultimate reality. And against that, they build themselves up. Against that, we ourselves are tempted to build ourselves up. And whenever we do, we are doing the same thing that the enemies of Christ are doing during this week of Holy Week. And so we have to question ourselves. Have we maintained that small light in the midst of our lives? That is our faith, that the power of God is greater than the brokenness of this world. That the power of God is greater than the brokenness of our own lives. We pass through the week and come through only by the power of God himself. Because the truth that is revealed is that he truly is the King, that he is the one who has a power that is greater than all of the power of destruction and breaking down that we live through. The passion of this Holy Week is the passion of our own lives. Jesus' crucifixion is uniting himself to the suffering of our own human lives and the victory that he wins in the end. The victory that we already celebrate today is our victory.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.